Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good afternoon, ladies. It is so nice to see you. Well, not see you, to be here with you, I guess would be a better way of describing it. And before we begin, of course, I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome all the new subscribers. And of course, I want to say thank you very, 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 very much for listening to these episodes, because this week we celebrated 13,000 downloads. So thank you so, 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 so much for that. If you have a girlfriend who might be interested or might find this podcast helpful to listen to as well, maybe she's got some stumbling blocks around mindset, or she's starting a private practice too, feel free to share it. You know, the more the merrier, okay? So what I'm going to do today actually is respond to an email that I got during the week. So this is really new for me, and it's really exciting. I've had my podcast for about 2 years now. I opened my podcasting account in late 2018 while I was in Thailand on a holiday with a boyfriend. And the reason that I started doing the podcast was because he told me that's something other people do and that I'm not really a podcaster. So of course I got to be my bonnet about that, and I started a podcast. Needless to say, the podcast sort of was very sporadic. I was talking sometimes. The podcast back then was called Manifest Change, because I love manifesting. My audience then loved manifesting too. So all the episodes were about that back then, but I wasn't being consistent, and I didn't really use it for business or anything like that. But over the last maybe I want to say 9 or 10 months now, I've been releasing 2 episodes a week, and I try and work to the masculine and the feminine, and always make sure that they're transformational, whether that be an action step that you take away, a mindset shift, an energy shift, a light bulb moment. I always want you to be getting value out of listening, because your time's precious. I get that. My time's precious too, and I don't want to muck you around. So what's happened that's very new is lately, so while I feel like I've been doing this podcast forever, I haven't. The podcast is in the podcast world, it's very new, okay? It's about, well, let's say 10 months old since I've been taking it more and more seriously, 10 to 12 months old. And over that time, what's started to happen is over the last few months, people have been contacting me by email and on Facebook, connecting in saying, hey, I listened to this podcast. It really resonated with me. You know, I want to talk to you about what's happening in my business at the moment. And I have to say, it just makes me so happy, because it's nice to know that there are people out there listening to these episodes. Because when you're in your little study at home in Hastings, Victoria, it's just me and my puppy Gabe. It's just us with the computer. Sometimes you don't know who's listening or if it's helping. And so getting those emails and being contacted randomly by people saying, hey, this meant something to me, this was really helpful, just makes my day. So if you're one of those people and you haven't said g'day, I would love for you to jump into my email, or catch me on Facebook or Instagram, even, not that I'm on there much, and say g'day, because I would love, love, love to hear from you. So that's exactly what somebody did. She contacted me. She doesn't want me to say her name, which is all good. But her question was that she wants to start a private practice, but she's not sure how. So she has completed her bachelor's in counseling, which is awesome. Congratulations. Not that you need a bachelor's in counseling to open a private practice. Everybody's different. We've all got our own journeys. anyway, so this is hers. And so she's finished, she's got a qualification, and now she's saying, I don't want to work for anybody, Brooklyn, been there, done that. I'm a mature age student, or was a mature age student. And yeah, I'm ready just to go and start my own practice, but I have no idea where to begin. And I'm so pleased that she asked this question, because it's not the first time that I've been asked. And I think that this is going to be a very helpful podcast for those of you who are in the same position. Either you're about to finish a qualification, or you're a new grad, or you're in paid employment but thinking about transitioning out and not sure how to go about it. And this is absolutely something that I can relate to. And I'm sure if you're in either of my groups, either the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice Online, or if you're in the Women's Circle, Private Practice with Soul, you'll absolutely know you're not alone. And yeah, I can totally relate. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it was like for me. So as you know, I was working at the medical center for like 17 years, never had to worry about a thing really. The only reason I left there was because the practice owner embezzled money from the contractors that were working there. So anyway, it's a whole other story. That was like the last straw for me. And so it was kind of like the day that we found that out, a whole bunch of us sort of left on the spot. And that's when I went and started my own practice. Now, I was quite confident then, because, you know, I was in my 30s, I've been doing this for a while, I've been having private practices for a while, had lots of contracts on the go, things like that. And you know what, to be entirely honest with you, I was, looking back, I was so naive, maybe even ignorant. I just thought this was going to be a cakewalk, honestly. I mean, I had all these qualifications from university, you know, bachelor's and honors and master's and PhDs and all of this experience. And I just thought it was going to be so easy peasy, honestly. So I go and I get this lease for a service department. That was my first time ever signing a lease. And I remember it being such a big deal for me. Like, it was something I celebrated. I really thought I'd kind of made it by signing this lease, right? And then getting the keys to my little serviced office. Now, it was only about as big as a toilet, honestly. Like, it could barely fit. It had a desk, and it had, they call them ghost chairs, those two clear plastic chairs, you know, like those plastic garden chairs, but they're clear, and they're clear to make the room look bigger. And I had my tiny, whiny, whiny little table in between those two chairs. It was a little glass table, and, you know, you could barely fit two coffee cups on it. And when you were in there with a counseling client, it was almost like you're in each other's personal space. This is how small my little, you know, my little office was. But it felt very professional, because out in reception, there was this great big chandelier, and it was all marble reception, and it was mirrored walls everywhere. And it just looked so impressive, so impressive. And then when you come in, you don't expect it to be like this tiny, whiny, whiny little space. But you know what? It was my space. And I was really proud of it. Okay. So this is so embarrassing to tell you this story, but I want to be totally transparent with you. So I'll share it. Okay. So anyway, I'm there, I'm thinking I'm all that in a biscuit, right? I'm thinking, oh, I've made it. Look at me. I'm doing it. I'm on my own. You know, look, I've got my own phone. I've got reception out there. I've got two chairs. I'm ready to go. But all these things started happening that I never even knew happened, that I was not prepared for. And okay, some examples, little things like, I didn't know you had to train admin. Okay, this is how obvious it is saying it now, but at the time I just thought, oh, well, the building's providing admin, and they're admin for all of the offices, and so they're just going to do their job. It never occurred to me that I needed to go out there and train them in how I wanted them to answer the phone for me, whether or not I wanted them to give intake forms to clients. Never occurred to me. Who knew that was a thing, right? Turns out it's a thing. And then there were other things I had to do, like my phone didn't ring for a couple of days while I was in that office. And it was really a culture shock, because I'd gone from being in this very, very busy bulk billing medical clinic. It was the type of practice where You know, patients would ring and book an appointment for 10 a.m., but three or four people would all be booked in for 10 a.m., you know, and so the doctors always get behind. And so anyway, what was happening for me was I was used to being in the hustle and bustle of it all, and now it's like crickets. Like really, I could hear myself breathing. That's how quiet it was. And that was when I started to realize something's not quite right here. And so I went out to reception. I was like, hey, my phone's not ringing. And then I found out, well, you've got to get your own phone number. I just thought that my office had a phone and it came with a phone number. Turns out, no. So it was little things like that. And then little things like, I don't know, just marketing the practice. I had no idea how to do that. You know, everybody at the time was very big on these GP meet and greets. And, oh, my goodness, I just personally, they're not my thing because I've been to so many of them and I just have found doctors to be, and that was when I was a psychologist, okay? And I have found myself to be so disrespected by doctors. Now, it may just have been the area that I was in, but I'm talking about suburbs like Frankston, Mornington, Mount Eliza, Mount Martha, Safety Beach, you know, up and down the peninsula, Seaford, Chelsea, Aspendale, Berwick, you know. It didn't matter kind of where I went to do these meet and greets. So, you know, when you're just starting out in private practice, you've got no cash. You're totally dependent on yourself to make money. And if there's no money coming in, you're living off your credit card, which is super scary, especially when you don't have much of a limit. So I think I had a limit of maybe $3,000 on my credit card, and I used $1,500 of that to get into the place. And then I spent all this money on these, setting things up, GoDaddy, because I needed a domain name, and then I needed a website, and then I had to get a business name. And so all these things started, you know, and I was completely unprepared. And yeah, and so I used my credit card to buy all these lunches for doctors. I booked myself everywhere to go and get referrals and meet these doctors. And do you know what? For every lunch I took over, no, that's not a good way of saying it. A lot of the time when I took lunches over, the doctors wouldn't even bother talking to me. They were so rude. I can remember just being there, and you have to set up in the lunch space. And so, you know, I put out my, you know, halal food and my kosher food and then the regular food, and I lay it all out, and I would have flyers and business cards and pens and notepads and sticky notes and like all of that sort of stuff. And I'd be sitting there all dressed up in my little suit, feeling really super proud, nervous, excited, you know, just a mix of all that stuff. And then I'd be sitting there, they'd tell me, oh yeah, come at 12:30 till 1:30. Well, I'd get there at 12:20 and set up, and then I wouldn't see a doctor. And sometimes, this is how rude some people are, sometimes doctors would come in and they would just say, where are the halal ones? You know, because I'd usually get Subway or something. I'd say, oh, they're over here. And they'd just take something and leave. They wouldn't even introduce themselves. They wouldn't say thank you. They wouldn't say, why are you here? What are you doing? Who are you? Nothing, not even a conversation. So anyway, and the return on investment was never fantastic. So if you're a counselor and you're hearing about, you know, other people in these online Facebook groups talking about how you've got to go and meet doctors, you can absolutely do that. But I figured out the formula. There's a strategy, and nobody teaches you the strategy. But if you want to know, let me know and I'll absolutely tell you the strategy. But anyway, so yeah, I racked up all this money, you know, on doctors and lunches, and it didn't yield much of an investment because, again, I didn't know what I was doing. I just heard in Facebook groups that's what you should do. So that's what I did. Yeah, completely blind, completely naive. And then when it wasn't working and it wasn't converting and I wasn't getting any referrals, I was hating myself and I was thinking, what am I doing wrong? This is, well, you know the word that I want to say, this is, and I was thinking, why is this happening to me? I mustn't be very good. This is embarrassing. This is humiliating. Maybe I need to go and find another medical clinic and just make my life easy and never have to worry about this again. So they were all the sort of experiences that I had. And honestly, like, I got through that and the diary filled up really quickly. Once you know what you're doing, the diary fills very quickly. But again, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't have the structures or the systems in place to support the growth of the practice. I was used to seeing a high volume of clients at the medical center, so I just assumed I was going to see a high volume in my serviced office. But because I didn't have the systems in place, it caused a lot of problems. For example, I booked myself out, you know, 8, 9, 10 clients a day for 5 days a week. I would get to the practice an hour early, I would stay back an hour late. But because my clients were pretty good at attending at that stage, it meant that I wasn't getting back to people on email, and I wasn't getting back to people who were phoning me, and all the calls would go to Message Bank. And so after I'd done, like, you know, 10-hour day at the practice and feeling exhausted, I'd then have to listen to all these messages that were from people who were getting really mad at me, really hostile, upset. Like, they would say, "I called you at 9 o'clock this morning. Why haven't you called me back? And, you know, this is my third call today. Why haven't you called me back?" But the reason I hadn't called them back was because I was in sessions. And I wasn't managing my time well. And so, yeah, it caused hiccups, not nice. And yeah, once I got that sorted out, then there was something else that happened in the practice. And so I felt like I was on this constant learning curve. And I'm still on a learning curve now, but it's different. Like, now it's a learning curve that I get to choose and that I control and that I manage and I dictate. And I am doing the learning that's aligned with my soul, that's aligned with my purpose and my vision and my passion and all those beautiful things. And what I'm doing now really, really, really lights me up because I'm, yeah, directing it. I'm choosing it. I have a vision in my mind of where I want my business to go. And so now I'm choosing the learning, the supervision, the mentoring, the coaching, the education that I need to do to help shift me to manifesting that vision into my reality. So that's the difference between where I am now and where I was when I first started. When I first started, it was like I was constantly feeling like the rug was getting pulled from under me, and like I was constantly learning, yes, but it was in response to all these things that were happening that I never foresaw happening. So I get it. I get it. And what I want you to know is that while you might feel like you're nailing it in your paid employment, or while you might feel like you got great grades in your course and you're ready to go and start your private practice, I think that's amazing. But don't underestimate the amount of work that's involved, and don't think that you can do it alone, because there is an easier way. In fact, what I've been able to do, so I've opened and closed and sold 4 private practices, and I help women in private practice start a private practice or develop it and grow it and scale it and do all of those things depending on what their goals are. And over 25 years of doing this, there is a pattern that emerges. And so what I've been able to do is put all of that together for you into something that I'm lovingly calling my ultimate private practice checklist. How's that? And so if you're wanting to start a practice but you're not sure where to start, hit pause on the podcast right now, scroll down to the show notes and download your copy. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. I just want to give you some value here so that I can save you some headaches, because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're not competent, not confident, defeated, deflated, not good enough, not worthy enough. I don't want anyone to feel like that. I want you to feel like this is doable, this is achievable, and like you've got a bit of a plan. And so, yeah, that's why I put it together. So yeah, I really, really, really hope that that helps you. I think it's very natural to not know where to start. My advice would always be begin with the end in mind. And by that, I mean, really think about what you want from your practice. A lot of the time, we just kind of roll into practice and we get stuck in the day-to-day stuff. And when I say to these women, hey, you know, this is wonderful, this is awesome, what's your vision? They say, oh, I don't have a vision. Okay, so who's steering this car? Like, where are we going then if there's no vision? How do you know if you're being successful in the way that you describe success if there's no vision? Like, come on, what's going on here? I think sometimes we think that that's a bit of fluff and it's not essential. But let me share with you, without knowing what you want from your practice, you're not going to be able to get what you want from your practice. So it starts with the end in mind. And the way that I would encourage you to think about that would be really focus on, well, for me, it was what would make me happy. And that changes all the time. As people who've been working with me for a few years know, in my groups, following me, they all know they've stuck by me despite business name changes, despite logo changes, despite branding changes, despite focus changes. Because they understand and appreciate that business is a living, breathing thing. And so it's going to grow as you grow. I've shared with you before that I get coached and mentored and do courses and PD and stuff like that too. And the reason that I do those is to level up. So when I level up, that results in a shift in my focus or how I'm helping or what I'm doing. And so, you know, everybody benefits from that. But you need to have the vision of what you want. My vision now is to be able to, well, just work my three mornings a week. My vision now is to be able to reduce my counseling. So I've done that. You know, I only have 5 or 6 counseling clients now. That's all I want. I'm not advertising counseling, haven't advertised it for a long time. I just want a few clients so I can keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on, because that's going to help me as a supervisor, a mentor, and a coach for you guys. So that's why I'm doing that. But really, ideally for me, it's work 3 mornings a week. That's it. Start at 9, finish at 12, have lunch from 12 to 1. And then from 1 o'clock onwards, that's just my time to do whatever I want with, whether that's go for a walk, which I haven't done lately. I'm using the weather as an excuse, but it's no excuse, is it? So go for a walk, sit in the bath with a book, watch Netflix, play with my dog, you know, catch up with my mom, or all sort of stuff like that. Or if I'm in the mood, I'll work on my business, which I'm loving doing at the moment. Like, I've just been learning all about ClickFunnels, whole other podcast there. you know, plus I'm in my own mastermind at the moment. It's not my own mastermind. I am in somebody else's mastermind. And so I'm loving having the afternoons free to, you know, binge on all the content there and do all the work in there. And I've got this great lifestyle that's working for me now. But you know what? My vision, while I've manifested my vision, it can absolutely change in 12 months. You know what I mean? Like, in 12 months, I might be saying, well, I don't want to be doing all this one-to-one work. I think I only want to be doing one-to-many work. And so there'll be another shift. But I'm not going to know what steps I need to be taking if I don't have the end in mind. And so that's why I'm saying, if you're thinking of starting a practice, or even if you're in one now and you don't have the vision, get the vision. And how do you do that? Look, for me, it's about journaling. I know everybody's got their own ways of connecting in. I believe that you have the answers within. Now, you can access those answers somatically by tuning into your body. I do it by tuning into, well, you know, my soul, my inner guidance, my heart space, my higher self consciousness, my bliss consciousness, my wealth consciousness. I want to tune into all of those, and I do that through journaling. And I ask, you know, hey, you know, how do I want this business to be in 12 months? Or how do I want this business to be in 2 years? And what's going to be the easiest way for me to get there? Like, whose help do I need? How soon do I need it? What am I willing to do? What am I willing to stop doing? Also such an important question. Like, you know, get out of our own way, perhaps. Yeah, and it's really from that place that we can then reverse engineer a plan to help you with your private practice. And so I think that's the most important thing that I can share with you. Once you have that, the next step is going to be marketing. You want to do that. Look, the general rule of thumb is you need to market for 90 days before you can fill your diary. So if you're thinking about starting a practice on, you know, in December, then you want to start doing your marketing in September. Okay, even though the doors aren't open yet, but this will ensure that you've got a fully booked diary when you do open. So they're probably the two big things. And you probably, when you did your course, nobody taught you about how to market for our industry. And so you're going to need some guidance around that. And I can give you that guidance as well if you're getting stuck. A way to know if you're stuck, there's a difference. And this is something else that I learned. I used to post on social media all the time and never get any traction. And I used to hate it. I used to think to myself, oh, I'm killing myself, like making up these posts in between clients and popping them on Facebook and not getting any engagement, not getting any clients. You know, how come everybody else is saying Facebook's the place to be or Instagram, you know? But the problem was I didn't know anything about marketing. Okay, I just looked at what everybody else was doing, like a lot of you do, and I was just copying that. I thought, oh, well, this is what you do, you know. I'm looking at this person, she's posting quotes, so great, I'm going to post quotes. Or I'm looking at that one over there and he's posting blog articles from other people, so that's what I'm going to do too. I never realized that those people didn't know what they were doing and I'm copying people who don't know what they're doing. So bad. Well, not copying, but modeling is probably the better word. You need a plan, and that plan has to align with your vision, with your audience, with what your audience likes, wants, needs, in the way your audience likes to receive it. There's a whole thing behind marketing. It's more than posting quotes on Facebook. But you don't know what you don't know. It comes back to that for me. And that's why I'm saying, if you're just starting, or even if you've been in it for a little while and you've kind of plateaued, it would probably help you to get a fresh set of eyes on your practice. Sometimes we don't see our own blind spots. That's why they're called blind spots, and you need somebody to give you a little bit of a hand. And if that's you, let me know. You can always book a clarity call with me. That's in the show notes as well. But yeah, I guess the takeaway today is that for those of you who are starting a practice and you want to create a practice that's where you can feel confident and where the practice is aligning with your values, and you want like a tick list that you can just go and check everything off, make sure you've got it all so that you feel super confident before the doors open. As I said before, hit pause on the podcast, go into the show notes, grab the Ultimate Private Practice Checklist. I know I could have had a different name, but that was what came at the time. Grab the checklist and download it. Do yourself a favor. Save yourself the headache and save yourself the money, because when you don't know what you don't know, it can be very expensive. Trust me, as someone who racked up credit card debt on lunches for doctors, you don't want to do that. Let me save you from that headache. Go and download that checklist. Okay, so this episode today, as you can hear, has been very much around the masculine. So we've had two podcast episodes now in a row. That was at Saturdays and today's Wednesdays, that have been very masculine focused. So guess what? On Saturday, we're going to move into a more feminine focused podcast. And I'm really excited to share some beautiful, beautiful content with you on that. So stay tuned, hit subscribe so that you get notified when the podcast is out. And yeah, grab your checklist. And if you need anything at all, I'm always here in whatever way is easiest for you, whether it's email or connected on Facebook, totally up to you. I'm not going anywhere, guys. I'm here. All right. Have a beautiful, 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 beautiful Wednesday. Let me know what you thought of this podcast. Share some feedback, share the love, and I'll talk to you a bit later. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you
you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.